Welcome back, or welcome to the Single Track Podcast. I'm your host, Finn Melanson, and in this episode, I am joined by Danny Moreno, Leah Yingling, and Brett Hornig to riff on an idea that Danny had earlier this fall called Battle of the Brands. Without giving too much detail here in the preview, this episode starts with Danny's description of how the concept works, who would be involved, how scoring works, stuff like that. In the lead up to this episode, we put together and created a spreadsheet, which I've linked to in the show notes of this episode, showcasing all of the athletes that we think could be involved. And we spend the middle half of the episode analyzing those teams. We then conclude the episode discussing whether this is something athletes, brands, and fans might be interested in. We talk about possible event locations and much, much more. Before we get started, this episode is brought to you by Gnarly Nutrition. Use code SINGLETRACK20 at checkout for 20% off your next order. It's also sponsored by Kodiak Cakes. Use code SINGLETRACK15 at checkout there for 15% off your next order. With that, let's get started. Danny, I think that you presented one of the greatest ideas of 2022 in a recent Instagram post that you titled Battle of the Brands. And we're also joined here today, by the way, by frequent co-hosts Leah Yingling, Brett Hornig, and we're going to get into it all together in a minute. But I have a few questions for you on this topic, just to kind of set the table for the audience. And just high level to begin with, can you talk about what this Battle of the Brands idea is and the context for it?
Yeah, the idea kind of came out as, just a little bit of frustration, but also just being a big fan of the sport. As an athlete with so many world championships, I feel like that kind of pulls us to different parts of the world when maybe we all want to be in the same place. And I feel like many times more or not, like that incentive is driven by our sponsors, even though most of us, I would say, do have autonomy in the schedules that we pick. And so Battle of the Brands was just something that I thought would, you know, maybe bring all the best athletes in the world together to compete on one day. And as a fan of the sport, that's also what I would love to see.
If we're talking about structure for a second, can you give the audience an idea of like the number of people on each team, the number of events, and the brands that would be represented in a hypothetical series?
Yeah, so when I was originally thinking of it, I wanted all the distances in our sport to be represented, so both sub-ultra and ultra. And so I thought of the VK, which is one of my favorite events, to be honest, that 10 to 12K spot, which is typically the classic mountain at the World Championships, and then 42 to 50K, which is more of short trail championships, even though I think that's counterintuitive to what it might sound like. And then 100K, we all love the 100K, and then the 100 mile, you know, kind of that bread and butter for what everyone tends to think of, I would think, when they think of ultra mountain running. And then as far as how the teams are structured, I was envisioning one for this race in particular, for there to be two categories, a male and a female category. I recognize there can be others, just for the sake of the size of the teams, because not every team can fill out a roster. And then one person for each of those two categories represented in each of those races. So the VK for Hoka, for example, we'd have one guy and one girl. The 10 to 12K, one guy, one girl. And then the points would be more like a track style scoring, because not every team can fill a roster. So whoever ends up with the most points at the end of the day or the end of the week.
And yeah, can you talk a little bit more there about how you win and, a little bit more detail about the scoring as well.
You win by being the most badass brand. you win by ending with the most points at the end of the week. So ideally, you know, you'd have pretty strong runners in all of your categories. And as, you know, maybe we'll dive into very soon, is not every brand kind of has like their take on how they build their team. And so for me, also being a fan of the sport, I think this would be interesting to see how brands maybe are investing in like building out their teams as this sport continues to grow and grab some extra fandom.
Right on. That's awesome context. And yeah, before I bring Brett and Leah into the debate here, a little bit more table setting. We are all looking at a Google spreadsheet here, which outlines all the events, all the teams, all the athletes. It would take way too long. It would probably confuse too many listeners and viewers to rattle off everybody that we've listed, but just know that a couple weeks ago, we did a 90-minute call. We had an absolute blast debating who belonged on which teams, in which events, who was on the bench, etc. And it's critical, if you want the full context for our conversation here today, to click on the link in the show notes of this episode, either on YouTube or in Apple and Spotify. Open up this sheet, which we've made publicly available, and you can follow along there. But as far as the rest of the episode goes here, we're first going to go into detail about the competition itself. So for example, which teams we think have good shots at winning, how the teams are structured, whether upsets are possible, stuff like that. And then we'll close the episode by talking kind of hypothetically about whether more athletes like Danny would want to participate in this, whether we think brands would be interested, whether we think fans would care, potential venues, how often the events happen, stuff like that. So hopefully that is enough context for the listeners. And I think this is the perfect place to dive in. Before we start though, Brett and Leah, maybe starting with Brett. Brett, what makes you excited about this idea that Danny's put on the table?
I mean, there's a lot of things that make me excited about this idea. The first just being the level of potential competition that could be at an event like this. And not only just the individual competition, but that there's individuals competing against one another on, you know, the various days, but that's all contributing to a collective team goal of, you know, being the best brand. And I've always loved the idea, you know, just like racing cross country in high school and college. Like there's just something special about coming together as a team and working towards like a collective, like greater, you know, championship. You know, like the NCAA cross country championships are one of my favorite sporting events to watch each year. Even if I know nothing about the teams going into it, like you become a fan of some team over the course of the race. And that is something that I believe would happen at an event like this. For the sake of our hypothetical conversation for this particular team, we were having the venue in like a like European mountainous type spot. Like Chamonix, yeah. Right? Okay. Just making that known for all the listeners.
Yeah, I think similar to what Brett said there, I'm pretty recently coming off the World Championships, and competing on a team was a really, really special thing. And something we actually discussed while out there was, wouldn't it be cool if you were still a big team that competed throughout the weekend? So like if all of our scores could be compiled and then the greatest country like came out on top at the end of the weekend. And I think this gets at that, except it's from a brand perspective, which I think is really cool because you all have one mission. And I like that each distance is quite different. And I like the exposure that each other distance would get to a distance that they're less familiar with over the course of a few days. So somebody who's a 100-mile specialist might get to, you know, watch and be really engaged with a VK or a 12K race where they might not otherwise experience. So that part's really cool because I think it gets at Danny's idea of, you know, there's often a lot of hype around these longer distances. And I think this would even the playing field and make everybody excited about every single distance because they have equal value. They're all equally important and there's something to get excited about on a variety of days.
Amen to all of that. I think I'll add that one of the great challenges in our sport right now is the lack of a coherent season-long or multi-season-long narrative where athletes kind of know their place in the sport and they can organize around something. And this offers the chance for anybody on any brand to sort of like drop everything and come together and compete. And we get to see athletes that it otherwise might be very difficult for them to compete against each other to make that happen. And so in addition to what you guys all said, that incentive is super interesting to me. So anyways, we've gotten all that out of the way. I think we should dive right in. Which team like has the best chance of winning just based on what we've put together? Like who stands out and why?
Anyone? I mean,
Bueller.
I feel like we have like a big Bueller. I feel like we've got like a, do we have like a big three or a big four? I mean like Hoka, Salomon, North Face and Adidas. We're definitely like the big four, like pretty well-rounded. I think Solomon is my favorite, but we can dive deeper into that. I mean, it would definitely depend a lot on like the manager of these teams and deciding on who's going where and strategy going into this. Cause I guess one other thing that more emphasis needs to be put on is there's only one person from each brand per event. So that has a huge amount of pressure to not screw up. So like as a team manager, are you putting the person who loves to like swing for the fences at the result of maybe a catastrophic blow up, or are you going to go for the person that's steady, like third through fifth all the time? That makes something like this really exciting. It's like the management strategy that would go into it.
Yeah, that's a cool idea too. Like, is it the team manager's responsibility for putting together a team too, or is that could be crowdsourced?
Just open voting. Yeah.
I will say I do think Solomon came out on top when I was doing my analysis, and I don't know. I think it's for a variety of reasons that I'm sure we can dig a little bit more into. But I think for me, the top contenders were definitely Solomon, Hoka, and Adidas. And I think North Face was fourth out of that top four there.
Yeah, I would say the same for me. Obviously, a little biased and trying to set aside that bias. But Hoka, Solomon, North Face, Adidas. And honestly, Nike still has my interests. I mean, we have Sally McRae in the VK, which I know that's kind of going a little bit outside of her realm maybe. But Ninke, Rachel, Addy, and Brittany, if they all came with their best day, they can put up some big points. So I still like – they're a very strong asterisk for me with those top four. So I would call more of a top five, at least on the female side. And then the guy's side too. I mean, with Francesco Pupi – Drew Holman and Tyler Green, if they all show up with their best day, they can also score some big points there too.
Yeah, I think something that was unveiled during this process to me, at least with respect to Nike's team, was we are utilizing their like entire Nike Trail team to make this team. Yeah. So if you look at Hoka, you look at Solomon, we have North Face, we have a really extensive second string, third string with Nike. We've got nearly nobody on that bench. And I know we've chatted about this on past podcasts and whatnot, but it does make me wonder, like, with their investment to the sport and like where they're heading with their sponsored team, it's just interesting because it doesn't have the depth that, or the international personalities on that team either. There's, I think, Francesco and then Cesar, who is a Spanish runner. That's really, it's all American runners otherwise.
And Ninke.
Oh, Ninke, yeah.
We've got, to Brett's point, we've got those four brands listed. So North Face, Adidas, Hoka, Solomon, argument to be made for Nike as well. But if we look at the rest of the list, like Brooks, La Sportiva, Ultra, Saucony, Dynafit, do you guys see like a pretty significant drop-off between those top four or five brands and those other aforementioned brands? Or do you think like in these hypothetical battle of the brands competitions that you can be an Ultra, you can be a La Sportiva in this and still have a fighting chance in competition?
I don't think you necessarily have a fighting chance in terms of team performance, but I do think we could see some singular performances from these teams that would be standout.
Yeah. It did kind of shed some light onto how, like, I always considered like La Sportiva Ultra like a trail first brand. So it kind of like, it was kind of surprising then to see it on paper how like they don't necessarily have that many like, you know, potential winners for these events, or the, you know, the depth of the teams, you know, for this race, which I kind of always just assumed, you know, cause it's like, even like Ultra a couple of years ago, they would have had one of the biggest team rosters on this spreadsheet, but now it's quite a bit smaller and, you know, lost a little bit of firepower, I would say, which is kind of interesting. And I guess something that I just like assumed that Ultra was still like the super powerhouse. And then I kind of looked at, I'm like, oh yeah, some of those people that were, you know, with them are, you know, now running for other brands. And yeah, it just kind of like brought up some like question marks, like what are some of these brands doing in regards to their commitment to trail? You know, like Saucony, we don't have a full team by any means for Saucony, which was surprising because I feel like they're one of the bigger running brands out there. And we don't even have New Balance listed because, yeah. So yeah, it was surprising to just see all the names out there on paper.
Yeah, ASICS as well surprised me because I feel like I'd been seeing them around, but then I realized that I've been mostly seeing them in Europe on trail, like people starting to run on the trails in those shoes there, but like could not think of a single American on their team. So that's an interesting strategy to me as well.
And like, and I don't know the exact answer to this question, but I would imagine that brands like Saucony and ASICS and of course Nike have extremely large budgets. And if there was a simple switch in prioritization tomorrow, they could start to throw money at top athletes and even the playing field here. So I think we'll talk about it in a second, how, you know, we see things happening now versus 5 years down the road or whatnot. But I wonder if we'll ever see it. Like right now, the landscape looks extremely top heavy with a few teams courting all the athletes. But I wonder, like 5 years from now, if and when our sport continues to grow, do we see more parity between all the brands?
Maybe once they all stop investing in the latest carbon technology, then they'll disperse those funds.
No, they all need to be investing more in the latest carbon technology. I mean, it would be so cool if there was 12 teams lining up to this race and you had no idea who was going to win until after, you know, maybe the first 2 or 3 days when it started to shape up, which that was another thing, you know, maybe we should touch upon is like, we have here, just for the sake of organization on the spreadsheet, the order of events being VK, 12K, 50K, 100K, 100 mile. But when we were talking, that wouldn't necessarily be the most fun order of events for the actual week. Someone elaborate more on that, because I know there's thoughts going on up in there.
Yeah, I think, for example, I don't think you should leave the 100 mile to the last day. I think like we'd probably lose some interest if somebody were trying to engage with the 100 mile at the end of this event. But I think it could take place on maybe like the second day of this. And perhaps you have, you know, the VK or the 12K on the first day. Mm. That's just my thought for engagement purposes and the fan base. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
I love that.
Plus, yeah, then like there's just different opportunity. Like it would be so fun to be able to cheer on my teammates, you know, midway through the week. Okay, I have an idea. We're all gonna put our team manager hats on.
I love it.
All right, Finn, you get Solomon Ladies. Okay. Leah. Okay, maybe we'll all do ladies teams. Leah, you get Adidas Ladies. Danny, you get North Face Ladies. I'll take Hoka Ladies. Who are you calling up to race in each prospective event?
You want me to start?
Sure.
Sophia Laukley in the VK, Sarah Alonso in the 12K, Mode Mathis in the 42K, Camille Brias in the 100K, and Courtney DeWalter in the 100 mile.
Dang, that's a solid team.
It's awesome. Smoke coming off that mic.
I know, dude. That's, and you have so many other people.
Yeah, I got to list this bench off. I got to list the bench off because it's the depth is so deep. Beth Pascal, Bailey Qualzak, Caitlin Fielder, our very own Leah Yingling, and Marianne Hogan. And like for context, like we're considering people like Marianne Hogan and Leah Yingling in the top five of UROY voting this year for North America. So the fact that they're on a hypothetical bench in Battle of the Brands is bewildering, to say the least.
I really enjoy talking about it. Like it's the bench and the second string.
I mean, okay, manager Finn, are you submitting a second Solomon team and hoping to go 1-2?
Oh my gosh.
Is there a scenario where that happens?
That's a good question.
You're calling out my lack of foresight, Brett. I haven't factored that into consideration yet. But I know we talked, this is maybe a good time to bring this up. I know we talked about, like, in, I think it's in the Premiership League for soccer, how if you're the lowest performing team in the league, and maybe we do this for individual members on each team, if you're the lowest performing team member, you're sent down to like the subordinate or the minor league of that sport, and the highest performing team in the minor leagues comes up to the majors. It would be interesting if, like, on the Solomon team, any one of these women, if they underperform in their event, someone from that bench comes up to take their place in a subsequent year for Battle of the Brands. I think that could be really interesting.
I think we had talked about in our previous chat too about, I mean, this is getting a little tangenty, but open category. So almost using this as, it could be a very good, like, recruitment tool of sorts. So if there was an open category and like our unsponsored athletes performed like just astronomically better than our sponsored people, like, which teams would pick them up? Would there be a team that was looking at a specific category where they didn't actually have too strong of players on their list?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, you know, like up and comer, like I would say like sub ultra runner, like Chad Hall, he shows up and decides to just smash people in the 12K or the 50K. That could be a huge recruiting opportunity for him, because every single brand is going to be there watching him beat people that are getting paid.
Yeah, it reminds me of like Eli Hemming at the Golden Trail Series this year, just being like top 10 in a bunch of races and being one of the non-sponsored athletes that are just like mixing it up each time.
One thing I want to add, and I'm reminded of this because Solomon, for example, has such deep rosters here. If the Battle of the Brands were to happen, would there be any incentive for these larger brands like Solomon and Hoka to have a qualifying event before the main event, sorting out these starting rosters?
Yeah. I mean, maybe there could be a scenario where this gets so big that, like, yeah, brands are going to hold a trials for it. But I feel like as it lies right now, there's enough racing that all the athletes are doing that would allow for a pretty, like, a pretty solid selection process. But yeah, I guess manager Finn for Solomon, you might have some of the hardest decisions to make. I guess Hoka's actually got a pretty big roster as well.
Who wants to go next? Dan, you want to rattle off your team?
Yes, I'm North Face. So I have Elsie Davis in the VK. She has really strong road marathon PRs. So typically she's in the 42 to 50K, but needs someone for the VK, putting her in there. Brittany Charbonneau, most people know her. She's a really strong American runner, similar, very strong on the roads. Only put her in the 12K because then in the 42 to 50K, I'm putting Jennifer Leichter, purely just based off the fact that she beat her at Broken Arrow this year. And then I have Sanmaya Buddha, who got second at CCC this year, almost ran down Blondine in the last few hours. That was wild. And I think that was that her debut CCC? I'm pretty sure it was. Mm-hmm. So that's just Blondine as well, both of them. But just really impressed with that run. And then Katie Scheid in the 100 mile, which that was an easy one, just from based off of this year and the past few years.
Which you've got some 100 mile studs.
I know. Yeah.
On your team.
Got Caitlin Gerben, Meg McKenzie, Fanny Bohr, and Jasmine Lowther still on the bench too. All very strong runners. I would say the VK and the 12K, just because those aren't their events that they mainly do, that's kind of the area where maybe some other teams could catch them. But also they're just so quick as runners in general. I feel like if they focused on that event for, you know, a training cycle, they could also crush it there.
Yeah, and I feel like that was a trend that we saw across both the men and women's North Face team, was the VK and 12K were tough categories for us to fill. We felt like there was pretty substantial 50K and beyond people to fill those spots, but we were almost pulling from some of those longer teams and hoping for the best.
Yeah, like, for example, on the North Face men's side, we have Zach Miller in the VK because they have so much depth in that 50K and up range. And then after talking about it, we all realized like, how fun would it be to see Zach Miller race a VK?
We're just doing it for the fans.
Yeah, that would be the fan vote, is Zach Miller in the VK.
I love it.
There's like another universe of this event where you can't, everyone has to be debuting in that event. No one could have ever done it before.
Oh, I like that.
So I got to say one thing about Zach Miller, because I just finished rereading Shoe Dog and I pulled up the page on pre, and the quote is so applicable to Zach Miller. No matter the sport, no matter the human endeavor, really, total effort will win people's hearts. And I feel like that's Zach Miller to a T in the VK. Even if he's 5 minutes off the lead, just seeing him acting like a workhorse, that's all we need.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Yep. Any race that he finishes will make you cry.
Leah, you want to list off your team?
Yes, I've got Adidas. We have Anna Honner in the VK, Tony McCann in the 12K, Sheila Avile in the 50K, Abby Hall, 100K, and Ruth Croft, 100 mile. So this one was fun because I feel like Ruth Croft and Abby are both, I don't know, I think their specialty is 100K. That's where they perform best. So having to choose between the two of those was tough. And I think that could go both ways. I think Ruth, with her performance at Western States this year, put it over the top for me to put her in 100 miles. However, I will say my Adidas bench has some, I mean, I've got five people that could fill that 100 mile spot. I mean, that's Corinne Malcolm, Emily Hoggood, Sabrina Stanley, Taylor Nowlin, Ekaterina Mityev. I mean, that is so solid. Wow. And that was a trend that I noticed across the Adidas team, was a lot of those 100K, 100 mile specialists. But I mean, just a pretty stacked team altogether.
Yeah. Manager Leah, is there a scenario where you move Ruth out of the 100 mile? Just for the sake of like locking up points? Because I feel like it's almost guaranteed points in any event.
She's so versatile.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So do you put Ruth in the 50K or the 100K because there's just less chance of bad
luck? I think I would, honestly. Like, I think I could see her in the 50K excelling. I mean, she has nailed every single one of these distances that we're discussing. Like, she doesn't really lose. I know she lost once this year to Cami Bruas at, I think, was that Lake Templier? But she's so solid. So I think I could put her in the 50K. And then that would open up our 100-mile spot. And then who do you put in there? Sabrina Stanley, Emily Hoggood? I still don't even know. I mean, I don't know who's the most solid there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could just depend on the course. It's like if it's UTMB.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess if it's UTMB, that would be longer than anything Ruth has done, mm-hmm. by a fair margin from a time standpoint. It's like maybe throw Emily Hoggett in there because she's
I love the conversation about course specificity though, because I do think, I'll take Hoka's team for example. I think your Hoka team would be nearly entirely different if it were, you know, a flat, fast course than if it were a mountainous course or place. Completely different.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, some decisions are very easy to make for like a UTMB type course. But then if it was, if you threw like, you know, I guess I'll just read off my team. Like VK, I've got Ashley Brosovan. This is the Hoka ladies team. 12K, Matilde Sagnes. 50K, I've got our own Danny Moreno.
Oh, yeah.
100K, Aaron Clark. And the 100 mile, Audrey Tange. Whereas, like, if the I've got Camille Herron on her bench right now, which is insane. She's a world record holder. You know, if this is a flat 100 mile, I mean, that's an easy swap to throw Camille in. But if it was flat everything, I could throw Camille in the like 100 mile, 100K, or 50K. And then I'm kind of running into this similar like Ruth Croft type scenario that Leah has. And I've got like Casey Lichtig, Annie Hughes also on the bench. Like, you know, if say the 100 mile gets even burlier, you know, a 200 mile event gets thrown in there. I mean, I've got I've got Annie Hughes to call up, which, yeah, I mean, I think my team has, they've got a solid shot against Solomon. If we're assuming like best performance these people have ever had on this day, I think like the best, I think Solomon's had some of the top performances. I guess the other thing that we hadn't brought up is like, if this race is in Europe, you know, a lot of the Solomon team gets to train in Europe more and prepare on that course, which, you know, lends to some home field advantage in that regard. If we're bringing it over to the States and maybe something a little bit less verdy, maybe you throw in some heat, the Hoka team, their chances go up quite a bit on both the men's and women's sides, I feel.
Yeah. I feel like something I struggled with across all teams was filling like the 12K spot. And I don't know if that's just because I'm so much more familiar with like 50K and above distances. But it came really easy with the Solomon team. And I think part of that has to do with their focus on the Golden Trail Series and a lot of these shorter races. Like Solomon has historically invested a lot of time and money into shorter races. So I feel like their team is just catered perfectly to what we're putting together, whereas other teams a lot less so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say too, there's not really, just, you know, speaking for myself and other friends and competitors of mine, like there's not really any 12Ks putting up prize money these days. And so people are gravitating like, okay, the shorter distances that are getting prize money are usually maybe a couple 25Ks, and then it's mostly the marathon. And so I think if there was more investment in that 12K, you'd see that, which is pretty cool. Like the Cirque series is doing a little bit of that. But those races are just so typically overshadowed by other races happening during the summer months, I think, that they aren't. Yet.
Yeah, that's a great point. I wonder, like, Deani, what would you say is a competitive 12K, like one of the most competitive 12K-ish distance races that exists right now?
Right now, it would probably be the Dolomites race. That one's like maybe a 15K, and that's usually part of the Golden Trail Series in past years, and then the World Championship. So then people do their country championships and then get on the World Championship team, and then that's usually like the race.
How long was the up and down race at Worlds this year?
I think it was 12K.
Probably 12K, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's usually 10. Sometimes they go towards 15, but they try to keep it in that like 10 to 12 range.
Speaking of events, if we look at all the columns here, maybe we can go around in a circle and list off our most anticipated events. Like for me, it's the 100 mile, but I don't know, Brett, for you, what is it and why?
I was particularly, I was looking at the 50K or the 100K in terms of like, as a fan, something that I would be really excited to watch. Cause there's, as we have it listed, there's some like really heavy hitters in the 50K, which for a race, you know, that's in that, like, I don't know, 4 to 5 hour range, that, you know, lends the chance to roll the dice a little bit more and take some more risks early on. And just with, you know, the field who we have up here, like on the ladies, I mean, like Danny, Maud Mathis, Jen Lichter, Sheila Castaño, Rachel Drake in the 50K, like that's like a scary good pack, which would be pretty exciting. Then on the men's side too, like the Hoka team, we have Hayden Hawks in the 50K, which, okay, slight side tangent going on to the men's Hoka team on the 50K and up. This one was tough because we have Hayden Hawks in the 50K, Adam Peterman in the 100K, Jim Walmsley in the 100 mile, and a freaking Tim Tollefson on the bench. And I hate that
too.
Like, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do about that.
Friend of the podcast, Tim Tollefson going on the bench. We can't stand for that.
We can't stand for that. That, I mean, it is highlighted though for that reason, right? Because Tim has been on the podium twice for UTMB, and Jim has yet to be on the podium yet. Jim is still in that spot.
Yeah, it's like high risk, high reward. Like Jim if he nails it, he will be on top. However, like, do you go with nailing it or do you go with just like consistently solid?
Yeah. And then if I'm going with consistently solid, I'm putting Ludo.
Yeah, that's a great decision, honestly.
Like, I will. Am I about to bench Wesley?
Jim and Tim both on the bench.
Yeah, that's controversial, Brett.
You're right. No, you know what? I'm splitting my A and B teams, and I'm making them even, and I'm going all in on going 1-2. Oh,
that's what I'm going to do. Shame everybody.
I've got enough across 50K and up where I'm going.
Hey,
two
that's
full
not a
teams.
Bad idea.
It could work. Exciting events. Yeah. That 50K would be a fun one to watch. But I guess that's another thing that we kind of learned is like the depth of the sport as a whole is growing a lot. As I've said in the past, that actually, what if it, the depths are getting deep.
The depth is so deep.
The depth is so deep across the sport of trail running. And that is very cool.
Yeah.
Leah, how about you?
I'm actually very excited to watch the 100K. Similar, I mean, you just look across, especially the women's race for this, but everybody's so solid. Erin Clark, Cami Bruas, Soon Maya, Abby Hall, Addie Bracy, Camelia Mayfield for Brooks, Claire Gallagher, La Sportiva, Amanda Basham for Ultra, Elsa McDonald for Saucony. I mean, Hannah Allgood for Dinafit, my God. It's just like every single one of those people is excellent.
I didn't scroll down. That's the deepest race.
It just keeps going. Yeah, it's everybody is solid there. And like men's race too. I'd be very excited to see that one.
Anton Krupicka, 100K. We have it written down.
You heard it here first.
He is going to participate in a corporate event.
How about you, Danny?
I was saying the 100K too. It just, like, especially if we have a couple other folks who don't have full teams, like if Blondine was in there as well, that would be really exciting. Maybe Devin Yanko drops down. But yeah, just like the men and the women side just would be so excited. I can't wait for like the rematch of Abby, Samaya, and Blondine. Like, it was just based off of CCC this year, my mind is just so excited. I'm like, what if Abby and Samaya went with Blondine? Then what would have happened with this race? And so just to have another potential matchup like that, plus just all the other women who were then so much faster in CCC, obviously that won't work for this, but yeah, I just think that would be really exciting. And then I selfishly want an Adam and Petter matchup so bad in the 100K. They both have been undefeated in that distance. And so it's just like, who would win that? I don't know.
If we're assuming that the top four teams are a lock, that it's a debate between Hoka, Salomon, North Face, and Adidas, I personally think that the Salomon women and the Adidas men are winning the next battle of the brands. Danny, who do you think is winning?
So this is with the preface based on everyone's years this year, right? Like,
yes, 2022.
Yeah. Ooh, you said Adidas men?
I said Adidas men, Salomon women.
I agree with Salomon women just because they are strong for every single event. And we brought this up before, but every woman on their roster or that we have listed here has already won a huge marquee international event. So I think that's just, you know, an extra star to their belt right there. The men, that's tough. I think it's either Salomon. It might be Salomon for me again. Only because, dang it, actually, sorry. This is hard. Because I give it.
I love it.
Because Salomon, the 10 and the VK and the 12K, that's what they do. Like, those are their distances. David can do anything from the 12 to the 40K. Remy is a VK specialist. Steon just won the world championships.
Yeah.
The only...
That's big
it
points.
It is big points. The only wild cards for me are Matthew, because he tends to do longer stuff. And then Francois. No, I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it to the Solomon guys.
Guys, I think I want to bring Max King off the bench and substitute him for Matthew.
I was just looking at that too. For like a pretty reliable 100K.
Like Max King is one of the most impressive people out there to me. Like he is just, he's consistently consistent. Like fourth place at Worlds just now in the 40K. And then like slayed it last year for a golden ticket at 100K. Like he nails it.
That's
a good move, coach.
So if one person over the course of 5 days is running all these stages, in the races are not in, you know, a descending order, like, you know, it must be like a long, short, long or something like that. Who's winning this on the women's side? Who's winning this on the men's side?
I think Ruth Croft on the women's side.
Yep. I agree with Ruth.
I agree.
Oh, you have to have so much durability to run 100 mile and 100K in the same week.
Ugh. Or Ninka. What's the furthest she's gone? I guess she can't really. She's done 100 mile. Yeah, dang it.
I thought it was like a marathon.
Yeah, never mind.
That's a big risk.
One sec. We need the opinions from Brett and Leah on who are winning the overalls here for men and women. Leah, who are your picks?
Solomon women for sure.
Okay.
I do think Solomon men with the substitute for Max King for the 100K would be our most solid team. The Hoka men's team is pretty fun though too, but I think some of those are a little risky on our part. So I feel like Solomon is very solid.
How about you, Brett?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree on that. I've got, Solomon ladies, like they have a legit chance to win every single event. On the men's side, I also think Solomon. Now looking at Matthew Blanchard in the 100K, I'm curious. I'm going to crowdsource to my three friends here. Stian Angermund, how would he fare in the 100K and then throw Max in the 50K?
I don't think that's a good decision. I feel like we're safer with like where we would have them.
All right. I was just throwing it out there. Phone in a friend.
Yeah, I think he tried for CCC either last year or this year and didn't go so well.
Okay, we'll keep him in the 50K. Throw Max in the 100K. Francois on the 100 mile, and this is like in a Chamonix type terrain setting. I think I have Solomon men and women winning it and then taking the combined title for this year.
I wonder if once we get enough history in the sport, like there's enough years and decades of sponsorship data to look at, will this 2022 Solomon team, men's and women's, like stand the test of time as one of the most stacked teams in our sport ever?
Well, there was a time when Francois and Killian were teammates, and they are not this year.
That's true. That's true.
So that's a big hit. Like Solomon team managers kicking themselves for letting Killian start his own brand.
For this reason and this reason only.
Yeah.
Leah, which teams do you think are on the upswing right now?
Do you have a strong opinion on something, Britt?
Well, I was just thinking Killian would be in the conversation for winning the individual stage race.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I think he might be my favorite on the men's side.
I agree with that. What was your question, Finn?
Oh yeah, which we've kind of determined Solomon is the clear winner here, but if we're like looking out 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road and we're looking at the rosters being assembled right now, do you see any particular brands other than these top four that are on the upswing and could be dangerous in the future?
I really liked, we do not have a full Dina Fit team. Part of that is due to the fact that something I think we could all agree on was it is really difficult to find athlete rosters for each of these brands. I think the best thing we found was our own like Googling ITRA, UTMB index type stuff. But Travis Longcar from Free Trail has a really nice repository that he's been compiling as we do more and more fantasy Free Trail. And that was a godsend for some of these, but we know that we are missing a ton of athletes across lots of brands. I know Ultra has a huge European presence that we're missing. I know some of these brands that are a little further down the list have a lot more Euros than we're familiar with. So we are welcome to any crowdsourced information that you guys might have that are listening. But I do feel like Dina Fit's team is going to be very solid. They're already really solid right now. But I think in the coming years, the next 5 years, we'll see them move a little bit higher in these rankings.
Yeah, a few teams that like basically didn't exist 5 years ago. Yeah, Dina Fit, Kraft, On, and
Adidas.
I mean, Adidas. Yeah. They like Adidas is legit. We put them in our top four, and they hardly had much for a trail team 5 years ago. So
less than that, probably like 3 years ago.
At their trajectory, I mean, they could be sweeping everything in 5 years.
Yeah, they're literally probably only two people away from sweeping. Yeah, it's pretty crazy how.
Yeah, so they've made big moves.
No, definitely. They're investing in their athletes. They're treating their athletes well too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. Looks like it. What about what team was winning this 5 years ago? Where were we at? We were in 2018.
I do think there's an argument to be made that Adidas might have been flirting with the four or the five spot 5 years ago. Like they really had a deep trail roster, at least here in the United States.
Adidas?
Sorry, Ultra.
No. Mm. Yeah. I was like, maybe five people on the Adidas.
Freudian slip.
Yeah. No, Ultra would have been like up in the conversation 5 years ago for sure.
I think it still would have been Salomon winning it 5 years ago. Yeah. Just because I feel like they're very deep across all these distances and always have been.
Mm-hmm. They still had Max King.
Exactly. Nike they still had Killian.
Oh, and they had Killian. They had Francois. Yeah.
But yeah, Nike had, they had a Tim and Zach and Laney.
Vargo.
Yeah, and Casey was on the Nike team.
Yep.
There's been some moves.
I'll be interested to watch Brooks.
Yeah.
Like they've got a full team here. Like we were able to field rosters for both the men's and the women's teams. They could be interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that Brooks team is definitely on the up and up. I love that we have Des Linden on the bench.
No, we got her. We put her in there.
We got her in, didn't we?
The VK.
Oh, we have Des Linden listed. We have Des listed twice. Oh.
Once on the bench, once on the VK.
Yep.
I wanted CJ Albertson in the 50K slot, but I was vetoed.
Well, maybe not for this year's event, you know, with the 50K having 10,000 feet of climbing. Something more runnable. CJ Albertson can absolutely throw himself into that.
Should we move on to like the more hypothetical stuff?
Yeah, let's do it.
I guess the first question is, starting with you, Danny, like you're the mastermind behind this. Do you think athletes would want to participate in this? Why or why not?
I think so, just because it would finally mean that we're all in the same place. I think I came up with the concept, and I know there's tons of flaws with it still. One of the main flaws that sticks out to me is because it's such a small race, you're still going to miss amazing athletes. And those athletes are on the bench. Whereas you might find that somewhere else is where you actually have, 50 individuals who are the best 50 in the world, and you get to race them all at the same time. But there is also that team aspect, which I crave and I missed this year, with the World Championships being in Thailand just a week after the Golden Trail. And as an athlete, we also love that. We love feeling like we're part of a team. And so I biasly would love to be at this, like just to cheer on a VK and a 100 mile in the same week just gets me fired up. I just think that'd be so cool. And I'm picturing like a VK under the lights. That'd be so rad. Like on a mountain.
That would be nighttime VK. That would be so sick.
Yeah. But I do see there being some holdbacks with the brands themselves, because this does put them in a really vulnerable position. If you're if you get beat and you get beat pretty badly, people take notice, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And similar to, you know, high school recruits looking at the college cross country meet, they look at who the top teams are and which teams they want to be a part of.
Imagine if there was somehow like a draft each year after the Battle of the Brands, and the last placed brand got like
the first pick
out of the college draft for the next trail runners, and teams would like tank in Battle of the Brands.
Purposely. The first pick.
Oh my gosh. How about you, Leah? What do you think? Maybe we do like the dichotomy of like athlete versus brand. So what are your thoughts on both of those perspectives?
I think athletes would be very exciting about participating in this. I think, like Danny mentioned, just the culture of a team in general is something that you already see across some brands more than others. And I think we would see this as a point and an opportunity for uniting teams who are dispersed a little bit more. Like I know our Salomon North America team this year had like 40 athletes or something. And like you never see all 40 athletes together necessarily. So being able to get a bunch of athletes on one brand together at one event, participating towards like one major goal is pretty awesome. I think a conflict would be timing. Like when exactly does this race occur? How does it fit into athlete seasons? Is it being like incentivized to some degree by the brand? What do these teams get for winning?
A giant axe or something, you know, that gets passed down. Like the winning team gets it for a year and then they want to try and retain the axe.
You're talking about like a guitar axe, right? Not like a...
Talking about a real axe. Like I think like Cal versus Stanford, the football team, they have like an axe or something like that.
Nice, love that. I wasn't sure if you're going like the Battle of Brands-esque, like an axe, like a...
No, just fishes.
Eddie Gibson. Okay. No, I was thinking just like a sharp, like a wood chopping instrument.
Yeah, probably that and some money.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and well, and the brand recognition. Totally. Like, that would be a really big boost in terms of just like brand awareness, sales, because for the entire year, they get to say they won Battle of the Brands, and like I am going to buy the shoes from whatever brand wins.
And I guess like the brands would probably incentivize in their like incentive structure this race for their team. So you know, if you won the 100-mile, won the 100K, you'd get you know X amount of dollars.
Yeah, and ideally, a brand that's not any of the participating brands is the one sponsoring this event, like Toyota, something.
I have a couple thoughts. First, on the athlete side, I don't think we've talked about it quite yet, but I think this is a huge opportunity for the free agents out there. We talked offline about free agents who, you know, quote unquote, unsponsored runners have the chance to run in these events alongside the branded teams. And this puts those athletes on a huge pedestal to be noticed, especially if they have a good day. So I see a huge benefit there. I do have a question though. Having never been a pro athlete myself, I wonder, are we making an assumption that all pro athletes out there are interested in lining up in the most competitive fields? Or is it the case that there are athletes out there that prefer not to be like in an arena for whatever reason, where there's so much on the line and like it's the very best of the best in the sport? So before I go to the brand side of it, I think that might be an interesting thing to debate.
I think it is it's not an assumption that most people want to compete where the competition is. I think most athletes on the team do, but I guarantee you there's a few that probably don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say the same. I would say the majority probably want to compete.
Yes.
And like that, and would rather get 20th in a stacked race than win something else where no one in quotes is at. But yeah, there's probably some that like prefer that.
And then I think the one other thing I wanted to say on the brand side is I feel like even if a brand gets beat or they fall to the bottom of the standings, we do have a lot of individual athletes, for example, like Killian on Normal, someone like Grayson Murphy on Saucony, where there could be these individual standout performances and it gets that brand a lot of recognition on a major stage. So they may still be interested because there's opportunities for athletes to come out on top on like these individual events within the greater series, which I think could be interesting.
Yeah, 100% agree. Like Ali Mac too in the VK for On.
Yep. Yep.
You just go out and smoke everyone, and you know, On looks great. She looks great.
Any other thoughts, Brett?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely value in a brand that, say, can't field a full team right now to still send their athletes. Because, you know, the way that this race would be, yeah, there's definitely the team battle, but every single day is a really fun opportunity to have an individual stage winner. And to, you know, I see a lot of parallels with like this and like the Tour de France, in terms of there's like an individual winner across all the stages. There's a team winner across all the stages. And then there's a ton of individual stage winners. And every single day is a super exciting race for that, you know, for that fact of like, oh yeah, like Grayson Murphy is representing Team Saucony and all the eggs are in that basket on the 12K. And that, you know, a win there could mean Saucony does field a full team, you know, the next year or something like that. So that, yeah, that just leads to really exciting racing across all the days, kind of regardless of who it is, because if they're unsponsored, you're like, oh, this person's totally going to get picked up by a team. Or if they're contributing to their own team's point totals, that's also very exciting.
Yeah. And we also brought up, like, you can notice maybe Andy Wacker is on the bench and your team isn't filled. And you're like, all right, note taken. I'm going to be, you know, recruiting other athletes. Or if you're a newer athlete in the sport and you're like, I don't want to go to the team that already has a full roster. I'm going to go to the team that maybe has more resources because their roster isn't filled. These are all assumptions, but yeah.
Team poaching.
We created an event for team poaching.
Oh my gosh.
A new recruiting.
I am so excited to be a manager. Yeah.
Do you want to be a starter in this world?
Yeah. Wait, I want to go back to the overalls. If one person to, we never finished that.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Who do you got?
Overall,
Danny, who's your pick?
Well, now that it's been said out loud, I would definitely pick Killian, just because he's literally set a record at Sagama, and then set a record at Hard Rock and UTMB in the same year. He can just keep showing up. It's wild. And then on the female side, I would say I'm leaning towards Ruth, but also like Courtney DeWalter got 10th at Sagama this year, and she's just so resilient that I am also kind of leaning towards Courtney. Like, she has range considering the races that she's run for how long she has, and then to jump down to that distance and get top 10. I just thought that was a very overlooked performance. So yeah, Killian and Courtney, as basic as those answers may be.
No, the 10th place at Sagama is a good one. For me, it's Ruth Croft and Killian.
Nice.
Okay. Killian decides not to race this year. Who's getting second?
Ooh.
Who's got it? I think that opens it up a bit more.
Yeah. I like this one. I'm going to throw Tom Evans into the mix for this.
Oh, that's
a good one. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good call.
I think Adidas has some range athletes. I think it could be, for me, it would be probably Tom Evans and Ruth Croft.
Yeah.
Oh, Adidas taking the individual stage race championship.
Those are very good choices.
Yes.
I like Jim Walmsley.
Jim as well, because Jim also, he did the Golden Trail stage series in 2020. And yeah, he won the last stage and second overall. So he was always in the mix. And that was it was similar to this year where it was a bunch of short races. And he was always in the hunt, like top three, top four. And he's got that marathon speed.
I think like Tom Evans for this one. I feel like Jim would blow it all in like two races and just go for broke and then not have it for a couple extra events.
Yeah, it really depends on the event order.
Yeah.
I guess what you just said doesn't help the name that I'm going to throw out there at all. But like, what about Zach Miller?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
He could.
Probably not for those reasons. I don't know. Because then I got to thinking about him and Tom at UTMB this year. And like, that was a race.
Yeah.
That was a race the whole time. But Tom ended up coming out on top because I think Tom races a little bit smarter, which I think would fare better for a stage race type of situation.
Mm.
Yeah, that ability to recover as well as like, yeah, be thinking actually about the next day would come into play here.
Yeah. Just like looking at their roster, Adidas has a lot of smart racers on their team. Like, yes, they're all pretty consistent, all of their runners.
One total wild card here, but I got to say it. I feel like at least between 12K and 100K, you can make a good argument for David Sinclair.
Oh, yeah.
And the VK.
And the VK.
He can rock a VK.
Yeah. That's true.
Wow.
Yeah, you know.
I was going to say, if you win the VK 12 and the 50K, you could just like walk the 100K and the 100 mile.
That's so true. I have all these random facts. In 2019, he ran the long trail. So he did the marathon and the 12K, and he got top 10 in both.
Dang.
And he didn't know he was running the marathon until the day before. So he just like pulled that out.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And for David Sinclair, he was trashed at the finish of the Canyons 100K this year. And then he ran like 20 miles 2 days later. Like, he was using his poles to walk around the parking lot right after the race. And then 2 days later, he went for, you know, like a 7 minute pace long run up in Truckee for like 20 miles.
Oh my.
Like, his ability to recover is pretty good. So Finn, I think you're onto something with this David Sinclair pick for the individual stage race.
Yeah. Leah, if we had debated the men's Uroy over the weekend, there would have been a good debate to be had about Sinclair.
I know. That's a good one.
We got a couple more things to cover before we go. One of them, do we think fans would care about this? Like, us four, we're obviously total nerds about the sport. We geek out about athlete rosters, and that's saying something because, like, as you said, Lee, it's hard to find these in the first place. But do we think fans would care? Like, would this over time generate interest?
I think so. I mean, fans care about 3 weeks of the Tour de France or the Giro d'Italia, Vuelta a España. Like, those are all 20 plus day cycling stage races. And like, I'm glued to the TV in July for 3 weeks every year. I would love to do 5 days of this. And I like that more than a 5 day race because I get to sleep in between the actual races. Like, from a viewer's standpoint, I have the chance to actually watch all 5 stages. And with how good it's, you know, some of these brands are getting at covering races, they could package this, you know, into a TV online, you know, stream so well.
I think so too. Like, if people are watching Coca Dona for 5 days straight, like, people will be watching this for 5 days straight. And I think they'd be glued to it, especially if we had a good structure for engagement too. Like, I think the 100 mile could actually be really engaging because we probably have a thing or two going on around the same time as it. So it'd be fun. I think people would love this.
Yeah.
And we would be commentators.
Exactly. Obviously.
Of course. We would be calling the races for the English stream. Of course. Oh, wait. You guys might be racing, actually.
Damn, I'll still jump on. Yeah. That sounds great.
Brett and I are just above average media guys.
Yep.
No, I think it'd be cool. Like, UTMB, like, people watch that, you know, and the live streams. And I went into their media room for, like, a post-race interview this year. And it was crazy. It was, like, a huge war room. Like, screens everywhere. There was a French, Spanish, and English live stream going on at all times. There was a room just for journalists. Like, yeah, I think people would love it. Just seeing how much interest there is in that race week that currently exists.
Well, here's a thought too. It's like, I was just thinking about being on the bench. What if you had to be an understudy for a certain distance? So like, so it was kind of like what you were just saying about David Sinclair having to jump in a race because they might have lost their fifth person, you know, at the last minute. And that happened on our 80K Worlds team this year, like a couple weeks out, and we weren't able to fill that fifth spot. But yeah, what if like I could be an understudy for a distance and I just had to be ready? And you couldn't fill that spot with somebody that's also already racing. It has to be from your bench. So that could be a fun concept. Instead of fielding a second team, just making everybody has to be ready and trained.
I love that. I love that.
You have to warm up for every single race.
Right on. I mean, my thought here, and I guess this is, again, to play devil's advocate, but how much of an equivalent is this to the Olympics? Like, would we have an easier time organizing people every 4 years around the Olympics and maybe doing the groundwork of building out these similar events in the next summer games or winter games and getting people to rally around country as opposed to brand? I mean, I don't know which one is easier, but that would be my only pushback is fans might gravitate more towards something that's been around for like 100 years and we don't have yet for our sport.
Yeah, this could be like a rotating thing with the world champs, which are every other year. But yeah, like you mentioned, that would take away from a potential Olympics bid for trail running.
Yeah, unless we just decide that this could just be better than anything that could potentially be hosted in the Olympics. Because like you have to, you know, it's all separated by country. There's only three and you're kind of locked into the venue of the where the Olympics are. Whereas this is almost like trail running's own Olympics. And if, yeah, and if you can convince enough people that the corporate Olympics is better than the national Olympics, it could totally work. But yeah, that's actually a good point of like, is this a once a year type situation or a once every 4 years?
And when in the year too?
What do you think?
I don't think it could necessarily be every year, but I think every other year. And then something we did talk about was like having to reevaluate your team at the turn of the year whenever people switch brands. Yeah. Yep. That make it a little tricky too.
Yeah. I mean, if it turned into like a once every 4 years or once every other year to start, and then it does get so popular that it does replace a lot of the, you know, like quote unquote championship races that we have right now, then I could see it being every year. If this ended up being the event at the end of every year, you know, I guess if it does then replace the championship events that we see across the year, then you could really put this event at any point in the season that you want. I do see it being in the second half of the year because snow and such, but I do love the idea of it not being in the same place every year too. I mean, like, I love UTMB. Chamonix is a great host to that race, but it would be really cool if there was different host cities to an equivalently hyped event. Because there are a lot of places in the U.S., or not the U.S., the world, that could host this event and do a really good job.
And I know something we talked about offline was maybe the brands, like the brand headquarter locations being potential hosts for this event.
Yes.
Traveling to those different spots, which would make it pretty unique too, I think.
Yeah, and that was an interesting thing that we kind of like learned, or like an aha moment of a lot of these brands could host this event, which is pretty cool. I mean, within a particular radius of where their headquarters are, but it could actually work, like Hoka being down in Santa Barbara and Salomon being in Annecy. North Face is in Denver. So on and so forth. I don't have the rest memorized. On was in Switzerland. That would be a cool one. I know there's big ones. Yeah. There.
Maybe. I know we've touched on it at a couple different points in the conversation, but maybe we close on just general takeaways from this whole research process and what we learned. Danny, what were the big, like, if you like study this spreadsheet or just how you've been thinking about this last couple months, what have been the big takeaways for you?
I just find it interesting that there's some teams that are still very ultra heavy. And I know we're like in an interesting time in trail running, but I suspect that there might be some more sub ultra depth in the coming years, just with, you know, shorter races getting more attention, like the Golden Trail Series, etc. And I think Salomon just kind of has a head on that because they are the ones that created that series. That's a little generalization for them, but that is an opinion I do have. And also just the teams that have really come out strong in these last few years. Like we've talked about teams that maybe don't have the roster they used to, but then you have teams like the North Face, just all around heavy hitters, Adidas, all around heavy hitters. I just find those trends really interesting. Mm.
How about you, Leah?
I think I touched on this a little bit, but something that was interesting to me is just the lack of places to find this information. And even like ranking really of athletes, like you have UTMB index, which and ITRA scores, which we use to guide some of this. But yeah, you just really don't know who is which with which brands. And then something else is like, you don't know when these contracts are up for these people too, which I think makes planning purposes, I'm sure, for some of these teams difficult if this event were to occur, you know, every other year or something like that. And I think just, where teams invest their energy and like into athletes, like in the longer distance. And I think Danny, just even talking to you, over the conversations that we've had around this, is just the knowledge around like VK and 12K. And just like, I don't know who a lot of these athletes are who are doing these shorter distances. So I just think this exposure in general would be so great for the sport.
How about you, Brett?
Yeah, you know, helping build out this list and looking at who is where. It was really interesting to see, like, one, the depth and severe lack of depth that some of these teams have, which made it kind of almost seem like some of these companies sign just enough trail runners to fill out, like, basically their advertisements, which is a bummer because some of them are really good and they deserve to have equally as good athletes supporting them. So that was just kind of surprising to see when you actually write out, you're like, oh, wow, like some of these brands don't have very many beyond two or three people. And then there's others that have huge teams because they actually are like, yeah, we're going to support professional trail running. We're going to make this a real thing. Like we're going to build out these teams. You know, some of these companies seem to be playing the long game more than others. The other thing too, kind of what Danny said, was like it looking at where some of these teams have strength. Some of these brands have like a particular type of, you know, runner that they're after in regards to like runnable 100 mile, or like they're just signing all the people that they think might be able to win UTMB, things like that. So yeah, that was really interesting to see. And maybe if some of these brands saw that, that would encourage them to round out their teams a little bit more for the sake of our hypothetical race.
Do it for us.
Yeah, come on now.
Yeah, we listed out 16 teams here, and I think we only fully filled 8 of them. And those back 8, like Saucony, Scott, Asics, Scarpa. Like I know Speedland is new, but like there's, if I'm an aspiring athlete, like, and I'm looking for a shoe contract, it might be, you know, I would be interested to reach out to those teams, talking to their athlete managers, looking at their vision for the next couple of years, because, you know, the sport's growing and it is interesting that there's that much of a gap between like the top half and the bottom half in terms of, how filled out they are.
I'm just glancing at the spreadsheet and I appreciate Dean Karnassus and the 100 mile for Speedland.
Oh yeah. How did we never bring that? Yeah.
I just really want to see that.
Dean and the 100 mile.
It was him or Dylan, and obviously it was Dean.
Yeah. Dylan has point potential in the 100K and 100 miles. So you might as well put him in the slightly shorter one that has less risk of disaster. So then, yeah, I mean, fan vote, You want to see Dean in the 100 mile or the BK?
Yeah, you know, I just realized too, we didn't list Under Armour, which that's so interesting to me. Like even a couple years ago, I felt like they were kind of up there.
We're on something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like they made a push briefly.
This has been super fun, guys. Danny, thank you so much for throwing this idea out there, sharing with the world, letting us banter about it here. I don't know. Before we go, does anyone have any final thoughts? Anything we might have missed in the index of ideas here?
Always. I got one thing. Can we please follow up in a year and see what changes and moves were made across the brands?
Yes.
And like, I mean, we'll update the spreadsheet and just see like, was there any team movement over the course of 2023?
That would be super interesting.
Brett and I were talking offline earlier today, and I think we're going to talk about it on a future Long Run Archives episode, but what if we had the ability to know when athlete contracts were up and if an athlete was, for example, in a contract year, that it would just make it so interesting to follow their season, knowing that like they had certain pressures, certain incentives on the line. And that would certainly make this whole battle of the brands discussion more lively, I think.
I think that would be really interesting because they have that in football, right? Where like they know.
Oh yeah. It's like
every other
ESPN
sport,
is
but
built
running.
On that.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah. Like they get to talk about it.
And one last thing. I think this would really motivate athlete managers to know what's going on in the sport and to like know who is good at what, who's competitive at what, and just be really in tune with the strengths of your team or like where you're lacking on your team. And I think that would be a great thing for brands in general, is just to have an athlete manager that's like incredibly invested into all aspects of the sport and especially like the competition level.
Mm. Love it.
Yeah, that is such a good point, actually. Because, yeah, like what kind of answers would you get if you ask some of these brand managers of the teams? Like, what is the goal for your team for 2023? You're like, you know, what is the goal with the people that you signed? Do you have one? And this might help to answer that question or force an answer for that question, which would be great.
And how important is performance in your team's plans for that year versus creating content?
Yeah. Or, you know, like sometimes it's a building year like they do in other sports.
Well, cool.
That's true.
Danny, we got to give you the final word. It's your idea. What do you want to leave us with?
Go teams. I don't know. Make it happen. No, I would just love, this is my final. I guess it's more of an ask of the audience just to like look at our spreadsheet and debate the heck with us. I just want to know, like, we for sure missed people. Maybe there's a team we're not even, you know, acknowledging right now because we miss people. And I'd want to know like which teams they think would win overall.
Thanks for listening. Before we sign off, if you are a fan of the show, please consider supporting us with a rating and review in your podcast player, a donation on Patreon, or the use of our sponsor discount codes in the show notes. We really appreciate your support. Thanks for your consideration. Until next time, I'm your host, Finn Melanson, and you have been listening to the Single Track Podcast.